This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Week one may be over, but the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to get your $200 in free bets instantly this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
As deserved.
I consider myself a realist, all right? But in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. We're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Draven Fine. As we get set to talk sports and other things for the next 3 hours to get you through this Thursday, September 16th. How are we today? No thumbs from Hayden. Cam, you good?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there.
You like the little cat?
The what?
The cat.
What cat?
The cat on the posters. What Hang in there when the cat's oh, like, yeah, oh. Yeah.
I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
I need to remake that with the cat from Hard Rock Stadium.
That's really should.
There we go.
That's a, you know, at least a $10,000 idea. Can we get some on a shirt at least?
Yeah. I'll look into that.
Get the font, like hang in there like they had on the old 90s posters, but with the cat on Hard Rock Stadium.
Hanging on for dear life is what it really should be.
Hang in there with one hand. And it's okay if you fall. Just got to dust yourself off.
Just got to hope somebody's down there to catch you.
Yep. There it is.
That's all it is.
So you're hanging on?
Yeah. I made a terrible decision, and I watched the whole 2.5 hour hearing of the gymnastic girls.
Oh.
And that, oh man, that was rough. I don't know why I did that to myself, but I watched it all.
The what?
The hearing for the Larry Nassar
stuff.
I listened to 2.5 hours of them giving their testimonies and stuff, and I was like, why am I doing this to myself? But that was a little rough. But besides that, good. Yeah, good. But yeah, they need to get that. It's insane. What happened in that situation? Even the way the FBI just kind of swept it under the rug for a while. So, bad look, but glad they're at least trying to do something at this point now. But, yeah, besides that, everything's going good, I guess. Football tonight.
Your boy, Taylor Heinicke.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Love watching the play.
I'm sure a lot of the football team fans are excited, too, you know, after seeing what he did in the playoffs last year and at least looking exciting.
Yep.
Like a young Tony Romo. We'll see what he does tonight against a easier defense, you know, the Giants defense, not as good as Tampa Bay's was last year. So yeah. I'm excited to see what he brings to the table.
I mean, he even came in last week and, you know, he was like 11-14.
Threw a touchdown. Looked pretty good.
I saw in D.C. they are having a conspiracy hour on their radio station where you had a caller call in and say that Ryan Fitzpatrick hurt his hip on a water slide in the off season.
Really?
Yeah.
How long before the season? You have those details?
Yeah, I don't have the exact details of like when they said that he got hurt, but that he had hurt his hip on a water slide. So.
I could just picture that guy living life on a water slide with his kids.
Yep. Yeah, man. So we'll see how that progresses and if Washington goes back and gets their money, if it turns out to be true. And it was nice just to have some good conspiracy theories on the radio. Draven, nice to have you back. Hope you are well, my friend.
Appreciate it. Doing all right. It's always nice to see those smiling faces. Always brightens my day. Puts a smile on my face. I am a little... I know. I am a little frustrated, though.
You're frustrated?
Yes, I am frustrated.
Sexually?
I know what he's going to say.
No, not sexually.
I know where this is going.
Well, you know, Cam, I'm about to go on a little bit of a rant right here, okay? I'm not going to make it too long. I'll make it pretty short.
I'm sure you have 2 days of rants bottled up.
No kidding. But, John, you know, as a Cowboys fan, as a Vols fan, there's a lot of similarities that can be drawn between the two teams. There is. There's a lot of similarities. Well, yeah, that's the main one. That's the start.
Never
the fact that we're
back.
Just living in the past. I would say the Cowboys have had a little bit more success than maybe the Vols have in the last two decades. But yeah, kind of living on past success, still trying to get there, still thinking you're almost there, and then always kind of being disappointed, falling short. But another similarity is just, man, bad break after bad break after bad break. Like, we all know about the Vols and just everything that's kind of happened here in the past few years, all the heartbreak, all the you know, the LSU game with Dooley, the Alabama game with Kiffin, all these crazy games that you feel like you should have won but you didn't win, the heartbreakers, the Jalen Hurts situation, the not playing Kamara enough, all of it kind of ties together, right?
Sure.
Cowboys, it's the same thing, man. It's the same exact thing, and I just don't get it. And I got to propose the question, like, has there been a team in the NFL with as many bad breaks as the Cowboys have had? Just look in the last decade. Just look from 2010 to now. You have Romo coming off a playoff season, injured, 2010. You have all the 8-8 years, including one year where Romo played the whole season, except the final game of the year, which was to win the division, to go to the playoffs. He gets injured. Then you have 2014, the Dez non-catch, what is a catch, all that nonsense.
Sure.
2015, what happens again? Romo gets injured again, out the season, year's done. 2016, you have Aaron Rodgers pulling a rabbit out of his hat with the luckiest throw in NFL history to Jared Cook on the sideline.
I don't think that's luck.
2017, you have Zeke get suspended for 6 games right in the middle of the year, right when we were playing our best football that completely derailed the whole entire season, Cam. 2018, pretty good, won a playoff game, whatever. 2019, you're disappointing again. You all think it's the coach. We all think it's the coach. What do? We get a better coach, and what happens in 2020? You lose 3 of your best offensive linemen. You lose your starting quarterback. Everything goes wrong. It's a disastrous year, COVID year. And then this year, you're feeling good after that Thursday night game, feeling positive. Cowboys fans are thinking, hey, we're not back yet. We're not there yet, but, man, that was a hell of a start. That was a hell of a start. And what do we have? What do we have, guys? We have Lyle Collins get suspended for missing 2 drug tests, which after having no issues.
Can we call that bad luck?
No, that's bringing in the
punishment. Seems like kind of self-inflicted.
Seems kind of harsh by the NFL.
Chris Coleman didn't get to run in the Olympics.
Yeah.
You got to do your drug tests.
Either way, you have Zach Martin who misses week 1 due to COVID.
Sure.
Now you have Randy Gregory out. Your only other decent pass rusher other than DeMarcus Lawrence, he's out for COVID. And now, of course, a defense that's already questionable, to say the least, already a defense you still don't really know if they're going to be any good, has their only, pretty much the only productive guy on the defensive line break his foot in practice. In practice. We're talking about practice, Cam. Mm. So here we are. Again, another bad break, another rough start, not to mention Michael Gallup's out probably 3 to 5 weeks with his ankle injury. So, I got to propose a question. Has anybody had worse luck? As many bad breaks as the Cowboys have had? Again, and just the last, we could just look at the last decade. Name me a team that's had more bad breaks than that. I mean, I can't make this stuff up. I really can't. It blows my mind just how every time something, there's got to be something.
I think the Atlanta Falcons had more bad breaks last year.
I mean, that narrative has been what, the last 2 years, maybe, I guess?
Last 2 years, that's it?
I mean, they had the Super Bowl, and then it's not like they were blowing leads the year after. They're still a playoff team. Still went to the playoffs the next year. Won a playoff game.
It's been a mess.
But injuries, I don't see Matt Ryan getting hurt every 2 to 3 years.
He's built
I don't see that
Matt,
happening.
But they have that one year where they had a whole slew of injuries. So
1 year.
Cowboys have this
every year.
The Eagles almost had a season derail with injury, but then their backup came in and won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. It sounds like they just put a good roster together almost.
That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. Yeah, give me the one occasion where a backup quarterback actually maybe was just as good, if not better, than the starter. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Underrated position.
Pretty much it.
Quarterback.
Pretty much it.
So you just feel snake bitten, the poor little Cowboys?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say this season's over. I'm not calling it quits or anything. And I still think we can. So we will beat the Chargers week two. It's just it's crazy the bad breaks that we do get. It
so
is.
So what I hear here is just laying a foundation for a season full of excuses. Is what it sounds like.
How is that? How? Explain that.
We've talked about how tough the first five or six games are. So if the Cowboys are 2-4, you're gonna have these excuses laid out already. It seems like what's coming.
These aren't excuses. Again, I'm just pointing out the fact that the Cowboys have had the worst luck in the NFL history, maybe in the past decade, when it comes to just injuries. Again, just bad breaks, missed calls. I mean, not to mention, let's not even throw out the missed pass interference this past week. The pass interference
the Lions,
last year.
Whenever you guys should have got that pass interference against the Lions, and poor Matthew Stafford.
Again,
got
that was that was a questionable call. Yeah. Didn't make any contact with them. Sure. You're missing the point, though. Thanks for bringing up the one fortunate thing that happened for the Cowboys in this past decade of just complete drama, just complete.
I think I have the point. The point is you're laying the foundation for excuses. That way, if the Cowboys come out and get smacked by the Chargers, you're going to look and say, oh, of course we did. We had, our pass rushers out. They're so good when they're healthy. They're out. How could we ever handle a game without them?
We have our defensive line coach getting injured, John. Look what pops up on my timeline. Leon Lett suffered a torn quad as a defensive line coach.
Week three when Jalen Hurts goes into Dallas and looks like prime Donovan McNabb. And you have Devonta Smith out there looking like prime Deshaun Jackson, except he doesn't drop the ball before he goes in the end zone. We're going to look and say, oh, it's the injuries. It's the COVID. We're snake bitten. Never mind the fact we hired Mike McCarthy, who, you could argue cost you game one against the Bucks. How many field goals are you going to kick inside, fourth and two, fourth and three? Imagine kicking a field goal on fourth and two from the goal.
Which is insane, because this past week, teams went for it on fourth down the most in NFL history.
Right, except big Mike McCarthy. If anything, we're talking about bad luck. You disagree?
One missed field goal that kind of was.
And also taking the field goal on fourth and goal from, the two? The two and a half?
Got to take points.
No, you don't.
It worked out at the end of the game.
No, it didn't. You lost.
Scored 29 points and had an opportunity for the defense to just get a stop.
You needed more. Imagine if you'd had a touchdown. Tom Brady had to score a touchdown with a minute left and no timeouts.
Well, we would have won the game.
Okay.
We would have won the game.
Yeah. Precisely.
Or if Greg Zuerlein just makes his damn kicks, we'd also be in the same boat.
That would also have been a situation where you should have gone four on fourth and two on the 13-yard line. Whenever the Cowboys, were getting 3 yards a pass every time they wanted it. Dak was hitting 5-yard passes all day if he needed them. We can call it bad luck or just bad coaching, either way.
That's hilarious. Yeah, because it's really, really Mike McCarthy's fault that all these star players, since he's real. I mean, imagine getting to Dallas and literally starting quarterback, three of your good, only good offensive linemen. Carl Williams is okay, but three of your best offensive linemen out. And then this year, again, 1 week. We are 1 week into the season. You've already had two of those offensive linemen. John, the offensive line hasn't played altogether since 2019 when they played the Eagles in that loss. That's the last time they've all played together.
Sure.
It's 2 years.
Okay.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, that's the coach's fault.
Game
one was the coach's fault. Yeah. If you're 1-0, there's less pressure in these next couple weeks. You'd be in a lot better mood being 1-0. Playing with house money going into LA week two. Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand how you can blame Mike McCarthy.
I just told you.
The offensive game plan going into that game was brilliant.
I don't think he made the game plan.
Just because they didn't go for a couple of fourth downs.
Yes.
If you win for those fourth downs, you don't get any points, and it becomes a blowout, which the game could have easily turned to that.
Or you score two touchdowns.
Then it's a whole different – we're having a whole different conversation.
And if you score two touchdowns, we're having a different conversation.
Okay, that's fun. We can play this hypothetical game all day long. Yes. We really can.
And all I know is in your hypothetical, you lost the game, and in mine, I don't know, undefeated over here. Undefeated. I mean, you have to agree. It's 2021. Cam just gave you the stats. Coaches are finally catching up. Fourth downs, they're just an extra opportunity to get a first down sometimes. They should be treated as such. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong. My coach is doing the same thing. He's a bum, too. So I'm not just picking on your coach. But I thought, going back to Thursday, you should have won that game. Might need it, too, with all these piling up injuries and COVID stuff. Can you guys get vaccinated over there? My God.
Jeez. Ugh.
I see what's happened, though. I'll let you set your excuses. It's fine.
I'm not setting excuses. Again, I just proposed the question. I just asked. That's all I did. I didn't say anything about this season whatsoever. I asked.
You see Big Joey Bosa coming this week?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
You see Joey? You see Keenan Allen?
Backup tackle. Terrence Steele out there getting beat. Oh, yep. Boy.
I see what's happening here.
Oh, boy.
Zach Martin going to be back.
Yeah, no, he's good. Okay. I wish they would move him to right tackle and then keep the guard who started week one at guard. But
probably would be a better move right now.
But
I don't trust McCarthy to make the right decision.
It's not even McCarthy.
Sounds like you don't either.
It's not even McCarthy. It was Jerry Jones, of course, coming on that radio station he has to do every week where he just spits a bunch of facts that seems like we don't even know if it's even going to be true or not, and goes on there and says Terrence Steele's going to be starting. So,
well, I'm glad you got that off your chest. I know it's been hurting you the last couple of days, so...
I just proposed a question. Name me a team that's had worse breaks. Go ahead. Really.
I want to know. Cam gave you the Falcons.
The Falcons, maybe. I mean, the Super Bowl collapse, the blown leads the last – again, it's only been like the last 2 years, yeah, really. The last year.
Y'all just don't watch them like I watch
them. I guess. Maybe you're right, but I don't know. I don't know if the Falcons have also – again, they've had their starting quarterback healthy through all this, which has been a positive.
He's built different, but
– either way, I'm glad you got off your chest. I'm glad you're back. We'll switch gears when we come back. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. As we come back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, available in 16 deliciously refreshing flavors. Pick up a variety pack. Find your flavor. I'm a black cherry man myself. Please drink responsibly. Only 100 calories. All right, Draven, what's the story of the day right now?
Other than DeMarcus Lawrence being injured?
I don't think it's DeMarcus Lawrence being injured.
Mm. Seems like a pretty big deal. I don't know. You tell me.
Okay. Well, the Hawks just signed Jahlil Okafor.
Okay. Yeah, that's big. That's bigger.
That's about on the same path as DeMarcus Lawrence being injured.
You're kidding, right?
It's not that different.
That's hilarious. That's funny. Or, again... Best defensive player, Jahlil Okafor. Get out of here.
Not that different.
I thought it was Micah Parsons, but
he's getting there. Needs a little time.
We got a Thursday night game tonight inside the NFC East between the Giants and the Washington football team. We'll talk about that. Haven't really gotten your full thoughts yet on Tennessee Pitt. You've had some time to kind of marinate on it. What are your thoughts on the current state of the Tennessee football program as, you know, we're 2 days away from Tennessee Tech. Josh Heupel on Vol calls last night still kind of playing quarterback roulette. I don't know, quarterback. He's being secretive with his quarterbacks and made it sound last night that, hey, it's going to be Joe Milton whenever he's healthy. Still not committing to Hendon Hooker. You have a growing number of people who are screaming for Harrison Bailey for some reason.
What are people still holding on to old Harrison so much? Is it just the hype that he had coming in? Is that all it is?
I mean, I think that's it. If he was a 3-star, you wouldn't have people calling for him.
Right.
You know, especially because I think, on any struggling team, especially in college, but, you know, even in the NFL sometimes, on any struggling team, the most popular guy is the backup quarterback, right? That's what they always say.
Yep.
Somehow in Knoxville, we've made the most popular guy the 3rd-string quarterback. And I get it. From, you know, Milton missing, you know, deep ball after deep ball. I don't so much get it in the sense of, like, already giving up on Hendon Hooker, who did at least some nice things on Saturday after being thrust in without a full week of, you know, preparing as a starter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little surprised that we've already kind of bypassed him, and you had people, you know, people at the game were telling me that people close to them were chanting, wanting Hooker bench to have Bailey in. Karis Bailey has... a good group of fans in the stands. He's got a good group of fans on the internet. And it's a nightmare start for Josh Heupel because, again, I've said it a million times, he had to have good quarterback play this year, and we're already down to wanting the 3rd-string quarterback.
Yep. Yeah, that's probably the big takeaway. That's my number one concern going into the season. I said, like, if you're going to have a quarterback, like, let's stick with him. Let's just have him play the whole year, right? Like, let's just have him go from week one to the end with the same quarterback, see some improvement, whatever. But, yeah, this jumbling around, this could be ugly. This could be ugly because as soon as Milton goes out there, struggles, it's just going to be vouching for the next quarterback. And then, like you said, there's going to be still Harrison Bailey fans. It's just going to be same UT issues, John.
I'm not going to tell you that Harrison Bailey can't play, whatever. I mean, we don't really know. He had times last year where he looked okay. You know, he had a good scoring drive against Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. Start that game. Looked competent sometimes against Florida. Like, whatever. I don't know. Like, I understand the frustration with Joe Milton, you know, missing passes. I get that for sure. I understand not thinking Hendon Hooker has a very high ceiling. I get that as well. You were told that Harrison Bailey was the savior for, you know, a couple years. That's what everyone kind of kept pointing to, which that's what happens when your program is in the shape that Tennessee's is. You, like, latch on to recruits. You think that these are going to be the guys that save you and get you back. And Harrison Bailey was one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tennessee fans rode hard for him for a year, basically. Like, hey, give him his fifth star. He's a five-star quarterback. Look what he's doing in Georgia. And
it's just like he's third string, though, bro. Like I get the hype, whatever, but, like, there's a reason that he's – not even getting to touch the field despite a quarterback getting injured and kind of inconsistent play at the position so far. Like, there's a reason.
Well, you know, Tennessee fans would then point to say, well, they told us the same thing about Jarrett Garantano forever, and that guy sucked. Like, that's what people are going to point to. Is like, we don't really have faith in the coaches when it comes to the quarterback position because, look, we had a deal with Garantano. Now, you know, keep in mind, this is a different coaching staff. But that circles me back around to the fact that I'm saying Heupel has had a disastrous start. This has been a terrible start for his tenure here. Is like, you've lost the game that you needed to win in Pittsburgh. You didn't look good against Bowling Green. But also, now you're at the point where it seems like some of your fan base doesn't even trust you with quarterbacks. Like, you've lost that faith, and that was the one thing you had.
Yep.
Okay. You know, everyone that liked Josh Heupel was like, quarterbacks, quarterbacks. Wait, here's what's going to happen. He's going to have good play no matter who's out there. We can trust him to make the decision. Mm-hmm. And now we're already not only second-guessing but third-guessing his decision. Over a guy that, look, I mean, if you think Harrison Bailey is the guy, which, you know, some people do. If you listen to the station, they call in. If you listen to, you know, social media. If you listen to Vol calls. If you listen to all these things. Some people think Harrison Bailey is the answer. And if you do, I don't know why, other than, you know, his high school recruiting profile, yep. Which, you know, we see guys all the time come in and not be able to live up to that. I mean, Tennessee has got a, you know, a front row seat to that. At the very least, I know when the play breaks down, like Hendon Hooker's going to, you know, be able to run the ball and maybe pick up a first down. Like the third and 15 scramble he had was pretty electric. I thought he picked up the first down on like third and four, you know, before we turned it over on downs. Like, Harrison Bailey can't do that. Now, can he make the throws down the field? Yeah, maybe. I mean, he must have not been making them in practice to make Josh Heupel want to look elsewhere. Or maybe Josh Heupel just didn't like him because he wasn't his guy. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to debate that because we don't have enough data points on really any of the – I don't want to say any of the three guys because it feels like we got enough data on Milton at this point between his time at Michigan and his time here. Yeah. Like, everything that they were trying to sell you about his thumb surgery and not being able to grip the ball seems to be a lie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Completely.
Or seems to be like, you know, you're really trying to justify and sell people. And, again, it worked.
Yeah, most people.
Sure. But, you know, the majority of the Tennessee fan base was pumped whenever it came time for, you know, Joe Milton to be named the starter. He looked the part. People were excited. People had bought into the hype of, wow, he's a different quarterback. Look at how he can throw that ball over the mountains. Like, he's a stud. People had bought into that. Which, you know, to Josh Heupel's credit, like, he didn't really tell you that. I will give him credit for that. Like, he at least made you somewhat feel like it was a quarterback battle. Now, you know, of course we saw Josh Heupel bring in Joe Milton, which makes you think he was hand-selected to come and be the starting quarterback. But, you know, we got to, what, game week before we had a starting quarterback?
Yeah.
Whenever everyone thought it was
Monday, I believe.
Whenever everyone thought it was imminent for Milton to be the guy, at least Heupel is just like, it's still open. Now, do we buy it? Was it close? Was Milton the starter of the day? You know, he stepped onto the fall football practice? Maybe. But it wasn't like Heupel was beating the drum of how great Joe Milton was going to be. So I don't really blame him for maybe looking at the quarterback room and saying, look, this guy should be the best quarterback, but he's just a little off on a couple of these throws. If we can fix that, this offense can really be what it's supposed to be. I don't blame him for that. Because, again, we saw Hendon Hooker. Do we think Hendon Hooker, like, raised the ceiling on this team to the point, like, where it's going to be the difference between, like, beating and, you know, winning and losing games? Because I didn't feel that way.
No, not really. I mean, he did complete a couple of down-the-field throws. That was nice, right? Having that little bit of touch on it. But then again, I mean, you had the quick screen. That's not really much a hooker doing anything that went for a touchdown. So
right.
I mean, and then the interception was killer. If he didn't throw that pick at the end of the game, I think everybody would be vouching for Hooker right now.
Sure,
but the pick really, especially how traumatized we are as a fan base with interceptions.
If they call the first down on the run and he ends up scoring a touchdown to tie the game, then maybe people view, you know, Hooker differently. Maybe
right.
If Hooker – I don't know exactly what the play call was. I haven't really heard it talked about. But like on fourth and one, like I thought Hooker could have kept the ball and walked into the end zone off the edge. Maybe it was just a straight handoff and he didn't have that option. I don't know. But if he scores a touchdown,
just
people feel different.
Just run a QB sneak. Just run a QB sneak.
But Cam, do you feel like Hooker raises the ceiling past six wins for this team? Because I don't feel that way.
I don't think this team has the capability to get past that just in general.
Sure. No, but that's my point, though. Like, yeah. There's none of the three quarterbacks can do that.
Yeah. My take was – my main take is he's not going to – I don't think he would miss those, like, first five deep balls, you know, like where
sure.
you have an opportunity to go ahead and just start pouring it on a little bit at the beginning of the game. I don't think he's completely missing those shots.
Do we know he has the arm to get the ball 45 yards down the field? Like, I'm asking.
I mean,
like, you said you watched a lot of his reps. I don't know if he does or not.
Yeah,
he's
thrown some deep balls at Virginia Tech. There was a few on tape. Like, obviously, he doesn't have the arm Milton has.
Sure. There's very few people in the world who
absolutely.
Has the arm strength Milton has. I mean, he's, I would say, top five arm strengths in the world when it comes to throwing a football, which is crazy. But, like, I don't know of many people who can throw it further than him.
Yeah. But, like, the college deep ball that you need to be able to hit, yeah, he can throw that. So that's kind of my take, is he's not going to necessarily leave as many points, you know, just off the board as Milton did at the beginning of that game. And, like, you hit one or two of those and you're up 17, 20
sure.
points. And
I still think Pittsburgh would have found a way to battle back most likely because
right.
the middle of the field was wide open and, like, they just would have passed the ball more and quit running it because – you know, whenever they pass, they picked us apart.
Mm-hmm. I agree, but, you know, 20-point head start's a lot better than a 10-point
sure.
head start. So
for sure.
Take my chances with that, but, you know, it's just kind of that.
You worry about turnovers? I mean, he comes in the game for not even a little over half the game. He turns the ball over, what, two times, right?
Yeah,
the fumble,
like
the interception.
I say yes and no.
I will say that was the one good thing about Milton, like, other than him getting the play he got injured, he fumbled. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, really no turnovers.
He
didn't really put the ball in harm's way too much, took a couple of bad sacks.
My whole thing kind of with that, like, yeah, it's not a good sign, obviously, but at the same time, I just think he was in a tough situation where you're just getting thrown out there randomly and having to go out and you know, try it. And especially the way, I just think Heupel really dropped the ball the way he started, like, changing up the game, the play call right when he came in. I think it put him in a disadvantage.
I will say, was it Hooker's first possession? Did it start, like, on the 10-yard line or so? I feel like
it was pretty deep,
pretty backed up. So
so that one was conservative, so I had no issues with that necessarily, because he had, like you said, just got thrown in.
Did he fumble on his – he fumbled on his first possession, didn't he?
I want to say it was a
– yeah, I think it was a
second. Was it a second?
They did that stupid roll out the pocket to the left for some reason, and it just – guy was free right in his face. Like,
did he fumble and get his fumble back on the first one? He fumbled twice, right? He lost the first one, or did he get the first one back and then lose the second one? I don't even remember, but.
Yeah, I don't either off the top of my head, but.
But point being, like, I think we agree that maybe this team is going to max out at six wins, kind of no matter who the starter is.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Let's upset Mizzou or Kentucky. That's pretty much all we got, right? Maybe Ole Miss? Beat Ole Miss at home?
No.
I mean, I guess maybe, like, I don't want to act like Ole Miss is unbeatable, but I think there's a reason Lane Kiffin is petitioning to have the Mannings call this game and do a little simulcast.
What do you think about all that?
I mean, I think Lane Kiffin knows they're going to score 60 points, and he's going to look like a genius, and he wants to hear Eli and Peyton talk about how good he is, and it's good recruiting and brand building for him.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm sure Lane Kiffin looks and says, yeah, we're going to win this game. Now, it might be a shootout where both teams score, but I guarantee you, you know, they're not having this discussion in Oxford right now about who's going to be their quarterback.
Yeah,
they know who their guy is. Like, he's pretty good. So, yeah, I'm sure they would love to have Eli and Peyton break it down.
What was your guys' getting off topic a little bit? What was your guys' thoughts on that broadcast? Because I thought it was absolutely terrible. I hated it.
I hated
every second of that. It was just,
how much of it did you watch?
Like,
did you make it to the fourth quarter with Russell?
I did not.
Okay,
no.
That to me was by far the best part when it was
really
him. When Russell
I
Wilson came on.
Ray
Russell,
Lewis come on there, and I was just like, okay.
Like, I liked the Ray Lewis story about when he went up against Eli in his third game, and Eli had a zero passer rating. I did like that part, but
I just don't understand. Like, why not have them broadcast like kind of during commercials? That way you could flip from the game to that and start to get kind of a little breakdown, hear a couple stories, all that, and then go back to the broadcast, because it just kept feeling like it was like, man, they're talking about some story while the game's going on, and you're just kind of like, well, I just kind of want to watch this game. I want to keep up with the game more than I want to try to keep up with both, you know?
And I don't know if they would, you know, judge it as a big success because only 800,000 people watched it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which, I mean, it's probably more than what would have been watched on ESPN2 at the time.
Oh, yeah,
but, for sure. But, I mean, like, you know, the vast majority, I think it was still 7.8 million watched it either on ABC or I guess on ESPN. 7 watched it on ESPN, then another, like, 7 watched it on ABC, I think, were kind of the rough numbers. Did, like, you know, 16, 17 million. So, like, it was a very small portion of people, despite what Twitter was acting like, that was actually watching Peyton and Eli. I did think if you would have watched the Russell Wilson portion of it, you would have enjoyed it more, just because Russell came on and was really dropping, you know, football knowledge, and they were keeping the stories and banter kind of to a minimum, but the banter was still good, you know, because Russell and Peyton played in the Super Bowl against each other, so they had a nice little, you know, quip about Sierra at the Met Gala wearing Russell's Super Bowl ring, and Peyton called it his, and then they laugh about Brady stealing one from Russell. So they had some good laughs. But Russell was really flexing his football knowledge. So I liked that part. It was a little rough. And maybe the future of it is putting it on ESPN Plus for subscribers only. That way you don't have commercials. That way, because there was also a couple of times that, like, you know, he'd get Travis Kelce talking about something interesting. He's like, hey, hold that thought. We got to go commercial.
Yeah, they were not, didn't seem very prepared. At least at first. At first it was kind of like, oh, yeah, we're out of time. Like, we just got to cut it off completely, like almost cut it short.
Well, at first I thought that they were really focused on doing skits and, like, had planned segments, like, you know, breaking down a certain play. Like, it felt like they had a play from Greg Roman, who has some Tennessee ties. Like, maybe they gave, like, Peyton's like, hey, give us something you're going to play. That way we can dissect it to show it off. And, like, they had that going out at the beginning of the game. And, like, the game's moving too fast where, like, they're, you know, breaking down play replays as, like, two other plays have happened. And,
I
mean, like, there were people that just wanted to hear the banter but still want to watch the game, and we're watching Peyton and, you know, missing plays and missing penalty announcements. And I did think as the game went on, the third and fourth quarter, that it slowed down a little bit, and it was just more of a football conversation. Which
Eli's just not very good on the TV, man. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just Peyton who just kind of has that ability to take over a little bit more. Maybe that's what it is, but I just wasn't impressed with Eli either too well.
I think Eli has a really good personality and could be better moving forward.
I think he's got to be on his own thing. And again, I just think, like you said, Peyton overshadows him way too much.
Well, yeah, when you're bringing in Peyton and he's talking to Ray Lewis and Charles Barkley, like, Peyton's just, you know, outshines him both in football skill, football knowledge, and likability. So, like, all of, like, Charles Barkley doesn't really want to talk to
Eli Manning. Yeah, when I turn to those Chuck on there, I'm like, come on. Like, what are we talking to Charles Barkley for, of all things?
I did enjoy Charles Barkley coming on and immediately talking about how he bet on the Raiders. It seemed like Peyton maybe been on the Raiders too. Like, it seemed like they were bonding over that. So I did appreciate them, like, you know, like, hey, we got legalized gambling now. Let's just go ahead and talk to Charles. What do you got?
Why not?
And then Charles, like, man, Derek Carr sucks. He keeps overthrowing these passes. What's happening here? But I don't think they can do it for college football simply because, like I said, they were getting lost in replays for the, you know, an NFL game, which goes much, much slower than both Ole Miss and Tennessee will go. That'll just be. That's not going to happen.
They couldn't keep up. Yeah, they couldn't keep up.
So with that broadcast, was the game always just kind of like on the side there?
No, the game was usually the main screen.
Okay.
And like Peyton and Eli and like Charles Barkley or whoever would be on the side, like kind of like in Zoom boxes, and the screen would be on there. Now, like I said, at the beginning of the game, they would go to like a full screen like of Peyton trying to dissect the play. But for the most part, the game would be on there.
I would have hated it if it was on the side. Like,
it wasn't.
I like to
actually
just watch the game.
That's how I felt.
But, you know, I didn't watch it either, so.
But going back to the Vols, John, what does Hopple need to do? The rest of the year for you to feel good about the end of the season?
He needs good quarterback play. That's what I've been saying
all
year.
Is that it? Is it just all quarterback play at this point?
Yeah, because, I mean, like, I don't think any of us think the defense is on him, right? I mean, like, the defense is him kind of, you know, staying hands off now.
What grade would you give the defense through two games?
They haven't forced a turnover yet.
Yeah.
And they can't stop the middle of the field. And I'm not going to blame Tim, that is, for not being able to stop anybody in the middle of the field because, like, his safeties kind of stink and his
linebackers aren't great in coverage.
Yeah. Well, I won't say his safeties stink. His safeties are average. His safeties are the epitome of average, like, and his linebackers are well below And you add those two things up, and you can't really – like, for as good as the, like, the defensive line has looked against the run, like, they haven't really created much pass rush. So I'm not going to blame Banks yet. I would say I give him a passing grade, a C+, B-. Like, I'm not going to call him great by any means. They got 41 points, but
– Back's against the wall a lot. I mean, those turnovers sure. held him to a couple field goals,
also,
which is
like,
big.
But yeah, your offense is going three and out and going fast. Like, it's going to be tough. And
right.
A couple of guys look like they've improved. A couple of guys are playing hard. Like, you know, especially mm-hmm. in the first quarter, you know, they were swarming around. They played with a bunch of energy. And I thought in the third and fourth quarter they – had some moments where the game could have gotten out of hand that they came up and made a play. So
yeah.
I give him a C+, B-, somewhere around there. Strangely enough, I give Coach Chili, Eckler, he's got like an A- right now, right? An A? A-?
Yeah.
The only thing he's done wrong is like have somebody back there try to return that field goal
yeah.
and cost you a bunch of field position. That was the worst thing. But the tight ends have been great and the special teams have been great. He might be our best coach, him yeah. and Garner.
Haven't missed a field goal.
Yeah.
Blocking punts. Yeah, you might be right.
But you ask what Josh Heupel needs, and to me it just comes down to he has to have quarterback play, man. All this looks better with good quarterback play. Everyone feels better with good quarterback mm-hmm. play. You can't have three guys there and not have any production, especially when people are yelling for the third quarterback. We're yelling for third string. Let's go to break. We'll come back. Some big-ish NFL news for week two, at least. We'll dive into it. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Hour one of Talk Sports is brought to you by the book at Harris Cherokee, a premier football watch destination. You can take advantage of one of their private fan cave rooms, I guess, is a fan. I guess a cave is the room, right? Wouldn't be a fan cave room. A cave implies that that's like.
Yeah, it'd just be fan cave.
Yeah, okay. A private fan cave, which is the ultimate way to experience game day with your friends. Fan caves offer guests a massive 85-inch HD TV plus two 43-inch 4K TVs and convenient access to betting stations. They also got a huge viewing area with a 90-foot screen where you can take in all the action. Nice chairs with USB charging points. Just take your phone up there and sit in there. Take your laptop and just stay all charged up and ready to go. Ooh. Some services may be unavailable or modified due to health and safety precautions. Bad news for the Baltimore Ravens as they look to get their first win of the season in a really big Sunday night game. Their offensive line was already in shambles. And now they are preparing, apparently, to be without all-pro left tackle Ronnie Stanley this week and possibly far longer as he undergoes more medical testing. I don't know if you guys saw, but the offensive line was pretty terrible.
Yeah, yeah, it was bad.
And now they're losing you know, their best offensive lineman by far.
Ooh.
As the Ravens look to avoid to go 0-2, which, Draven, you said you had a stat for 0-2 teams?
I did. Let me pull it up. By the way, that Ravens not making the playoffs bet, man. Looking sweeter and sweeter as the time goes on, huh?
It is true.
How about them apples? So, yeah, of the 11 teams, this is last year, that started out 0-2, none of them, none, 0-11, none of them made the playoffs last year.
So 11 teams started 0-2, and none of them made the playoffs.
Yep.
Teams on the hot seat tonight, Washington. They didn't start 0-2 last year? I mean, I guess they could.
No, they beat the Eagles week one. Washington did. Yeah.
Hot seat for the Bills, the Patriots. There's a lot of good 0-1 teams. The Browns, the Ravens.
There is.
Ravens Titans, the Colts.
Who's under the most pressure?
The Cowboys. The Packers, the Vikings, I guess the Falcons.
Yeah, they exist.
They do exist. I don't know how much pressure they're under and how you know how much they think about the playoffs after week one, but I'll throw them in there for you, Cam.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That has to be kind of an anomaly, right? Like I feel like to have 0% last year, Yeah. That's not usually the case, right?
I mean, I'm going to try to find the numbers, but yeah, I'm pretty sure there's usually some that make playoffs.
Like an 0-2 start, I think I want to say it's like 20% of teams I've seen before that make the playoffs after 0-2. I mean, that seems too high. But I mean, like, especially with Week 17 being added in there, an extra playoff spot. I guess there was an extra playoff spot last year, too, though. Who's under the most pressure? Your boy, Dak. He's under the most pressure. What are you talking about?
Dak is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's got to carry this team to victory. He's making $75 million this year, bro.
I will say, crazy stat I heard was the Cowboys, I believe, have lost, I want to say it was 16, 17 games in a row where they don't score more than 30 points. So basically, they have to score more than 30.
Sure.
They have to win a shootout to win every game.
Cowboys can't go 0-2?
We can in that division.
Before last year.
We can
year,
in that division.
I just told us 0%. You just told us 0%. Made the playoffs. Go ahead, Cam. You said you got the updated numbers?
Since before last year, so excluding those 11 teams, since 2007, 98 teams had started 0-2, and only 12% of them made playoffs.
Okay. So 20 was a little high.
But I'm assuming with, you know, the playoffs being a little larger than usual, or
I mean,
than it used to be,
yeah,
the odds have to, you know, go up a little bit at least.
Right.
But again, there were 7 teams last year, and it was 0%.
Yeah,
so.
That is pretty crazy. 0-11.
Can't even think of a team that's made the playoffs after I know what Texans 0-3 a few years ago with Deshaun Watson. Didn't they end up making the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it might be in that game we just talked about with the Chiefs and Ravens. I mean, like, Lamar is going to be under a lot of pressure this year.
It does say only team to ever win a Super Bowl after starting out 0-2 were
the Cowboys.
The Giants.
Giants won a Super Cowboys won a Super Bowl
since
after going
2007.
0-2. Oh, since 2007.
Yeah.
Say Cowboys won one whenever Emmitt was holding out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear the 2007 part. I know the Cowboys hadn't won a Super Bowl.
I guess that was the most recent. Yeah.
They were what, 9-7? The Giants team?
Yep.
The pressure meter for week two, I mean.
The Cowboys, though, the most pressure out of all these teams.
America's team, 0-2.
I get America's team, I get that, but I mean. You know, I just kind of laid out the bad brace that we've already had going into this game. I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just saying.
I think, does that not put more pressure on Dak? He's going to be the franchise guy? Does he not
I just
have to
don't
elevate?
See, and... I just don't see the pressure being on Dak with the performance he had in week one. Maybe more on McCarthy because, like, another slow start. I mean, maybe people start questioning him a little bit, but I think
Dak
proved a lot.
Everybody said, oh, when we get Dak back this year, we're going to be a great team
season.
Again.
Exactly. Dak makes this thing go.
Well, he does.
Okay, well, then he's got to get a win.
Can't play defense, too. He's not out there on both sides of the ball.
We go. Let's see. I mean, Lamar's going to be under pressure all year.
What a choke job by him.
Just fumbling the ball nonstop?
Well, I try to imagine, you know, I try to put myself in the shoes of that team. Imagine if that was Dak Prescott fumbling. I mean, could you imagine the next day what Stephen A. Smith would be saying on there?
Sure.
You know, I mean, that would be just the number one headline. Dak Prescott choking in his, you know, back from injury or whatever, even if he's not back from injury in Lamar's case. Like, that would be the story of the day.
Sure.
It would be.
Agree.
So I thought Lamar did really choke.
I'm not going to – and Lamar's had it both ways. Lamar got unfairly, you know, chastised and criticized, you know, pre-draft stuff to the point where he fell – down to the last pick of the first round. Mm-hmm. That was too far. And then we probably went a little too far when he was unanimous MVP and everyone's like, you can't question him anymore. And he's like, well, he's got to do something in the playoffs and he got beat. And he's got one win against my Titans last year. That's fine. But, you know, I do think there are still questions about Lamar Jackson. But it still feels a little too far sometimes when, you know, just before the season you have guys saying, is the league going to figure out Lamar Jackson? And we're like, well, there's plenty of other, like, young quarterbacks that run around that you could say, like, you're not asking if he's going to figure out Josh Allen, like, you know, stop him from, you know, ramming into the line, or if the league's going to figure out Baker Mayfield or any, you know, stop his play action, and you can stop Baker. It's Lamar always kind of the poster boy of that. But then he comes out in week one and does some electric things and then does some dumb things that ends up probably costing them the game that he had them in position to win anyways. That's the irony of the situation. He blew a game that he won them. With, you know, getting them into field goal range and in that long scramble right before the end of regulation.
Yep.
Who you got in the pressure meter, Cam? Who's number one?
I honestly want to say the Bills. I think the Bills playing a tough division game. You know, blew a lead. They were undefeated last year with leading going into the fourth quarter. They blew a lead in this past week. And, yeah, now, you know, they were one of those darling teams. And everybody was like, they may be ready to challenge the Chiefs in the AFC over there.
The Bills are unstoppable. They're so good. How could they ever take a step back? The Bills?
Would you just calm down over there a little bit? The best defense of the year last year. Was the Steelers not the best defense in the year last year? Top three?
You get to scream about Lamar Jackson, your Ravens pick looking good after 1 week, but oh.
Well, you just, I mean.
But Josh
also,
Allen and the Bills, who are unbeatable, they can never take a step back.
That's such a horrible comparison. The Ravens
are a horrible comparison.
They had a ton of injuries. You just said their left tackle's out, right tackle, whatever. They got four running backs who tore ACLs. Marcus Peters, their second best corner, is out.
And they got a guy in the locker room in Buffalo that's a COVID, a walking COVID distraction.
Mm. You ain't talking about the bees, are you?
Yeah, a walking COVID
the bees?
Distraction.
Come on.
No, the not Bills Buffalo. Are fine. They're unstoppable.
Listen,
the Bills, how could they ever take a step back?
Brian DeBall had a really, I thought, bad game week one. They'll be fine. They'll beat the Dolphins. Tua, you're really scared of Tua?
I'm not the one that said it. Cam's the one that said it.
They're not losing to Miami.
The Bills are unstoppable, Cam.
Put that on the board.
The Bills are unstoppable. How could they ever take a step back? They're going to roll.
One game.
They're so good. Josh Allen, have you ever heard of him? Look at that throw he made in the preseason a couple weeks ago. Oh, what's that? He threw the ball 51 times for 270 yards week one? Oh, okay. Interesting.
Cam, you know who's under a lot of pressure for me? It's those Tennessee Titans over there in the mid-state, huh?
Not at all.
I mean, what do you talk about not at all?
How are we under pressure in week two in a road non-conference game?
Did you not just hear the stat, John? Did you not just hear the stat? Every team that went 0-2 last year didn't make the playoffs.
Sure, 12% did before that, and also... If you get to point to the NFC East being pretty bad, I think I get to point to the AFC South being pretty bad, too.
That's why I would say they're not under as much pressure as
I don't know.
We're under zero pressure. Like,
did you see what Mark Ingram said about the Texans feeling like they're a great team?
Oh, I didn't know where he was at.
Win games, and they feel like they have a championship top team here.
Okay. Confidence is a hell of a thing. I'm happy for them. Like, let's check in a couple weeks. Maybe the Texans will be good. I don't know. But the Titans are under zero pressure. Maybe Taylor Lewan's under some. That guy. Did you see the clip I retweeted last night from his podcast?
I did.
No.
Where he was sent with Jeffrey Simmons. And this was recorded before last week.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeffrey Simmons is talking about one of his games at his senior year of high school where he had 17 tackles and 5 sacks. And Taylor Lewan, I kid you not, said, man, imagine giving up 5 sacks. How mad was your bleeping quarterback? And then, of course, this comes out 2 days after Taylor One gave up 5 sacks to Chandler Jones.
Incredible.
Yikes.
That is incredible.
I feel like you have to have an editor come in and be like, hey, we either got to cut this out or we can't air this podcast for a couple weeks.
Right.
That's incredible.
Can't do that. He might be under some pressure after getting trucked by Buda Baker, but no, my Titans are under zero pressure this week. House money, really.
How's that? Just because it's a non-conference game?
Is that? And the Colts are playing the Rams.
Sounds like somebody's already accepting defeat. That's what it sounds like to me, Cam. Sounds like somebody's already taking a nail and trying to look ahead to week three already with the division game against the Colts.
I mean, I think we could all agree that the division game against the Colts is much more important. But au contraire, Mike Vrabel has been really good in this spot, undefeated after a loss. After a double-digit loss, excuse me.
Okay, I was going to say.
After a double-digit loss, undefeated. 7-0, I believe it is.
All right. Just say, I mean.
I want to say we're 9-1 or something crazy, too, on the road our last bit in the regular season, too.
I mean, you bring up the Cowboys, we at least have a much easier opponent. But, yeah, good luck going up with that secondary against
Russell Wilson. Are
they much
easier? I don't know if it's much easier.
What, Chargers, Seahawks?
Yeah.
I mean, Seattle looked pretty damn good. You were sitting here earlier this week saying Washington only lost because Fitzpatrick got knocked out.
I know. It's true.
So, I mean, that doesn't
mean... Seattle's better. That's fine, but I don't know, how big the gulf is. I mean, I don't view Seattle as, a juggernaut. Although, maybe I do. I don't know. I guess I do. I think they're good. I don't have my power rankings. I mean, it's a tough game. I'm not worried about it. We go out there, we take care of our business, or we lose. We come back, we win week three. And then we play the Jets and Jaguars. We can be 3-2. Right ahead of us. Not worried about it. Pressure. You're just saying that because you're mad about the Bills thing.
Yeah, I'm so mad over here. I'm fuming.
Are. How could the Buffalo Bills ever take a step back, John? I just don't get it. Come out and score what? 16
Come
points,
out
10
and
points,
play
10
the best defense
How many
in the NFL.
Did score 10, 16? What was the final score there?
It was 23-16.
Wow, that juggernaut offense put up 6 points the second half. Wow. Crazy.
Defense looked good.
I love that Mark Ingram's talking. No, I don't know if the defense looked good as much as just the Steelers' offense is still very inept.
Maybe.
That'll be one of the stories we find out.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
But it's funny, the Texans talk about being a championship team as they are 12.5 underdogs heading to Cleveland. You know what? Maybe take the 12.5 points if they believe. They're talking about championships.
I was gonna say,
like,
man.
They believe. Let's go. Let's ride.
Tyrod.
I love you, Tyrod. Tyrod. You win this week, we'll call you. Actually, I'm rooting for them to lose. I don't need them to win. Go Browns, I guess. Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two of headlines as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.